How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tony. It's good to be with you and all your listeners this morning.
Well, Mr. Posthumous, I was wondering, why in the world would you want to get back into this game?
Well, let me, before we get into that, I would like to say something on behalf of Governor-elect Snyder and Lieutenant Governor-elect Callie and the new legislative leaders, Senator Richard Bill and Speaker Bolger and Senator Whitmer and Representative Hamill and all of the Democrats and Republicans. We want to thank all of the veterans for all of the service, to the World War II veterans who helped save this country, this world from Nazi tyranny, to the Korean vets who have been so often forgotten, to my generation of veterans, to the Vietnam vets. We finally say welcome home, because many didn't get that deserved welcome when they came. And now to all of those who have served and continue to serve in the Middle East and Iraq and Afghanistan, helping to protect the world against advancement of terrorism, we from the bottom of our heart say thank you, because without you, we wouldn't even have this discussion this morning.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Well, you are a senior advisor for the new administration of Rick Snyder. And as I just mentioned, you've just had such a great career. Why get back into the game?
Well, you know, I have had no intention of coming back. I had a wonderful career for 20 years. I was very fortunate that people honored me by allowing me to serve in the Senate for 16 years, and 8 years as leader, and then as lieutenant governor for 4 years. So I appreciated that and had no intention to come back. But when a few weeks ago, I had sent some comments to then-candidate Rick Snyder saying I thought he had the opportunity to be historic in what he does. I think he could be as historic as G. Menon Williams was in the 1950s, as George Romney was in the 1960s, and John Engler in the 1990s, in that this state is facing the most serious problems it may have faced since the Depression. People are hurting, and he's bringing to the governor's office a whole new set of experiences that I think are needed. The ability, I mean, he's created jobs in the private sector. He has an organizational ability that is unmatched, and maybe most importantly, he's a very bright, innovative thinker, and we need innovative thoughts. The old solutions to today's problems in state government won't work, and so I really believe he's the right person at the right time. But I told him he also had one challenge, and that is coming in from the outside, which we need today. You also need to have some people that understand how Lansing operates. How do you turn your vision into practice? And so I said he really needed to find some people that understood that. And then about 2 weeks later, he came back and said, well, we want you to do that. I said, well, no, I'm not looking for a job. I don't want to come back to Lansing. But he's a very persuasive individual, and he convinced me that in a small way I might be able to help in his vision to reinvent Michigan. So I've said that for a period of time I'll come back and do whatever we have to do to create a better future for my kids and my grandkids and all those out there.
Tim Skubick and I have shared the same idea that it appears Mr. Snyder, and obviously it's early in his tenure, but what he is trying to do reminds us of former Governor Milliken in the way that he is reaching across the aisle, not only to meet and try and work with folks, but he's actually putting him in his administration, starting with Andy Dillon as the treasurer.
Yeah, I think he's actually a combination of several past governors. I think he has the innovative thinking of G. Menon Williams, who was innovative enough to think of the Mackinac Bridge. I think he has the administrative structural know-how of a George Romney, who really had to come in essence, reinvent Michigan back in the 1960s. I think he has the Bill Milliken approach of saying, look, we've got to look at this beyond partisan values. And I think he has the John Engler approach of saying, look, we've got to make a difference now. We've got to go in, and our budget's in very deep difficulty. We've got to make decisions today and make them quick. So I think he takes a lot of the pluses of several of those past governors and combine them. It's just the right time in Michigan's history.
We are talking with Dick Posthumus on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We have had an expert talk about that the budget deficit, which has been talked to be from 1.4 to $1.6 billion, actually maybe $2 billion or more. How are you going to attack that deficit?
Well, let me step back. First of all, Governor-elect Snyder is very transparent. Anybody wants to know what he's going to do, all they have to do is look at his 10-point plan. He was consistent all through the campaign, and he's going to be consistent in his administration. And as we approach the first months of the administration, his highest priorities are, number one, to take those legislative actions that are necessary to get Michigan's state government out of the way so we can get people back to work, and number two, to get Michigan's broken government reinvented and balance the budget. So if you look at where he's going in those first months, there's a whole lot of things he's got to do, but this is where we start. And number one, that means in terms of balancing the budget, it's taking a whole different approach to the appropriations process. I mean, in the past, we've just continued to pour money into we start with what we've got today, say this is what we did in the past, now how much do we want to fund it? He's going to take a whole different approach, say, look at what are the customer service approaches that state government needs to do, what functions, and then set a standard and goal of what by function, what we're going to do, and then fund those functions based on the needs of those functions as opposed to funding governmental departments. It'll be very tough. I mean, there's no question. There's no easy answer, but we're going to have to bring in a lot of different folks and look at everything from a very different perspective. That's why he wants to reach across the aisle. We need to talk to everybody that's involved in the process.
There was a dysfunction, a lack of communication between the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office and the Speaker of the House and the minority leader, and they weren't on the same page, and we've got new players now. How do you avoid that, and how do you get people to compromise when they disagree?
Well, I've always said that 70% of the problems that happen in Lansing are because of miscommunications or lack of communications. Part of my job, part of the reasons he's brought me in is to help break down those line of communications, to help open them up, or the barriers to the communication, open them up so that we have open access, even when we disagree, that we know up front what we're doing so we can come together. What we've done already, I mean, this week already, the governor-elect, lieutenant governor-elect, and myself have met with all four caucuses already this week. Yesterday I met with the new Speaker of the House, the new Majority Leader, the new Speaker of the House, the new Majority Leader of the Senate. Tomorrow I'll be meeting with the Democratic leaders of the Senate and the House so that we can talk about what's our common goals and vision for Michigan. So it's all about, I think that's the important thing, that we have continued communications, and that will be part of my job, so that on behalf of the governor, and I know the governor-elect will continue to be as open as he has been. I think if you look at this week, it's demonstrating what's going to happen in the next 4 years.
And a final question for you. On this program, we talk business quite a bit, and I know you know all the challenges business faces here. Indiana is coming across the border and trying to lure business over into their state. The single business tax and so many rules and regulations seem to not only keep new businesses from coming to Michigan, but we have challenges in keeping the ones that we have here. What needs to be done to make business thrive in the state of Michigan, and how soon do you plan to attack that?
Well, let no one misunderstand. Our single top priority is to put people back to work, and we are going to attack that. We are already attacking today, and legislatively we will begin attacking it the day the legislature, in fact, before the legislature comes in session. We've begun those discussions with the legislators already. And that means, number one, we've got to get rid of the job-killing Michigan business tax. that has got to go. We're going to replace that with a much more fair tax that will tax people based on their ability to create income. Across the board, 6% income tax for corporations. Number two, we've got to get a different culture within our state government. Our permitting process and regulatory process is maybe even worse than our tax process. And we are going to send a message that we believe that people operate, that our citizens are generally honest, and as opposed to going out and saying we got to regulate them, we're going to say, look, we're going to have a permitting process that's going to be fast, efficient. We're going to say, assume that they're doing things correctly. If you do something wrong, we're going to go after you, but we're going to let you get going faster by reducing that regulatory process. Those are the two critical pieces that's going to have to take place.
Mr. Posthumus, when I was thinking about you coming on the program last night, and I was thinking about the questions I was going to ask you, you hear so much doom and gloom about Michigan and the lack of work that's been done. And I started thinking, what would make someone like you want to get back into the game? And then I kind of got excited thinking, I was wondering if this was going to be fun, if it was going to be exciting, invigorating with the opportunity that you have here. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Well, I'm coming back in part. I lost my soulmate, my wife, of 38 years this summer, and she left me a legacy of 4 children and 7 grandchildren, and I'm like a lot of people in Michigan. We want those people, our kids and our grandkids, not to have to go to Chicago, not to have to go to Cincinnati. We want them to stay here, and so what's motivating me in memory of her is helping this governor-elect to make a difference, to reinvent Michigan's government and to get people back to work so that my kids and my grandkids and all your listeners' kids and grandkids will be able to, 10 years from now, say, you know, those folks, those Democrats, those Republicans, they all made a difference so that we, Michigan's now back again. And I believe we will be back.
Anything else new and newsy you want to talk about before you go?
No, I think that's it. I look forward to working with all of the new legislators that are coming into Lansing. There's a great group of people. I do want to say to them, they've been elected and represent all of those people across the state, and we're going to do everything we can to work with all of them to create this new Michigan.
Thanks so much for your time. We looked forward to talking with you again.